I want to talk to you on a topic that was brought to my mind by the reading on Jeremiah. Remember, Jeremiah is a prophet. He's been called by God. Jeremiah is not happy to be a prophet. It always strikes me, and I think it's because I spent the weekend with kids listening to teen logic. And one of the things that I heard, and I hear regularly, not with just with teens, but I hear it from a lot of people, even adults even, is that so what's God good for? If God isn't fair, what's believing in him good for? And especially when bad things happen, people constantly go to the place of, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Why is God treating me like this? Or why did God let this evil thing happen here or there? Well, that must mean there is no God. Because if he doesn't treat me fair, what good is believing in him? And it's always interesting to me to hear that logic. Because the logic is based on several presumptions. And with Jeremiah, I was thinking about it. It brought to mind that Jeremiah, and it's not in the reading today, but Jeremiah in one part says to God, I hate being your prophet. You duped me into being your prophet. I wish I would have died rather than having to be your prophet. And today's reading kind of goes along with that. Listen to this. Jeremiah says, quote, I hear the whispers of many, terror on every side. Denounce him, they say about me. All those who were my friends are now on watch for any misstep of mine. Perhaps he will be trapped. Then we can overcome him and take our vengeance upon him. But, Lord, you are with me. And you are like my champion. My persecutors will stumble. They will not triumph. In their failure, they will be put to shame. O Lord of hosts, you who test the just, who probe the mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take upon them. For to you I have entrusted my cause. Sing to the Lord and praise the Lord, for he has rescued the poor from the power of the wicked. Now, the interesting thing about Jeremiah is that when God sends Jeremiah out to be his prophet, Jeremiah is received horribly. People are after him, and that's when he says, I hate being a prophet. You duped me into being a prophet. And what's he basically saying? He says, basically saying, you know, I thought if I did what you told me to do, that since you're God and I did what you told me to do, that things would go well for me. And you didn't stick up to your end of the deal. You duped me into being your prophet. And it's interesting because that's exactly the same logic that a lot of people have. If I do what God wants me to do, then everything should be fine. But the problem is that presumes that we are in a position to bargain with God. It reminded me of a person who has a terrible sickness, and the doctor says, you have to come in at least 4 times every week to receive this treatment. And the guy says, that's not fair. You're taking my time. You see, I got other things to do. I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal. I'll come in 2x a week and you heal me. Now, he's trying to be fair. He's trying to negotiate with the doctor. What's wrong in that logic? The thing that's wrong in the logic is that the man is sick. He's in no position to negotiate his treatment according to a standard of fairness. If he doesn't take his treatment, he will die. And half the treatment, even though he may consider it to be fair, it's going to kill him. Because the doctor is well and he is sick. And there's no equality in that relationship. He is in need of the doctor in order for his life to be saved. And he has to do what the doctor says to him. So when kids or when we say, okay, God, you give me what I want and I'll be good. That's like the guy making that deal with the doctor. What's the problem? The problem comes from the fact that we think that we are in a position to bargain with God. We think that I'm okay. I am fine. I am created. I am good. I am a human being. Now let's you, God, you and me, let's argue. And we'll set up something fair to both of us. And basically, that is the illusion. The illusion comes from this. Modern people, in absorbing Christianity and the Christian view of the world, have skipped one particularly important teaching of the church. And the teaching of the church was reflected in the second reading. Because in the second reading, St. Paul, take out my Bible, in the second reading, St. Paul makes this statement. Through one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death. Death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. For up to the time of the law, sin was in the world, though sin is not accounted where there is no law. But listen to this. But death reigned from Adam to Moses over those who did not sin after the pattern of the trespass of Adam, who is the type of the one who is to come. Okay, for most of us, we don't understand that. What the heck did he just say? Basically, what he's saying is, and this is the teaching of the Catholic Church, look, historically, we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. How we as a human race got screwed up. And I think that's the only thing that we can't deny. The human race is messed up. It's messed up. Periodically, you'll go through periods of being okay. But ultimately, you're not going to be okay. Ultimately, you're going to die. Not only are you going to die, ultimately, you're going to have tons of disappointments, and you're going to have all kinds of issues come up in your life. And so it's like us saying to God, okay, I know that I'm in trouble. I know that I'm going to die, but let's make a deal. And God says, no deal. Do you want me to save you or not? It's kind of like the doctor looking at the patient and the patient trying to make a deal. And the doctor said, look, here's the therapy you need. Do you want the therapy or not? Because if you don't want the therapy, you're going to die. And it's basically the same thing, situation with us. What's missing in the logic of the sick person? What's the missing piece in the logic of the person is that he doesn't realize the gravity of his illness and the precarious situation that he is in. He thinks that he has a bargaining position, and he doesn't. He is sick. The doctor doesn't need him. He needs the doctor. And you can't, he's not in a position to bargain. It's that same thing with us. When I hear people say, well, what's God good for? Well, if you don't want to be rescued, see, and that's the problem. The problem is that a lot of people don't understand that we are in dire need of being rescued. Because we live in the here and now, and as long as everything is cool, everybody says, oh, I'm okay. That's why I always use my little example of if you're swimming in a swimming pool and you're having a good time, and the lifeguard jumps in, swims over to you and says, I'm here to save you. You look at the lifeguard and you say, thank you so much, but I'm really okay. And then as the lifeguard swims away, you look at your friends and you go, you know, he's crazy. But if 10 minutes later you're alone and you become paralyzed in the swimming pool and you start drowning, and the same lifeguard jumps in and swims over to you and says exactly the same thing, I'm here to save you. That's the best news you've heard. Why? Because before, you thought you were in control and you didn't need the lifeguard. Only being in control was only temporary. And all of a sudden, you learned you weren't in control and you needed someone to rescue you. That's when what the lifeguard said becomes the best news you've ever had. Most of us live like that. We live thinking, well, what's God good for if he doesn't give me what I want in my life? God has no obligation to do that. And it may not even be good for you to give you what you want in your life. God doesn't care about you being rich or comfortable. He cares about you having character and being the kind of man and woman he wants you to be. And so he's not, and the deal, it's not that he's supposed to make you comfortable and great as long as you do good. No, it doesn't work like that. And so we're in a position like Jeremiah was, of doing what God is asking us to do because we need to be rescued. We are in debt to him. He's not in debt to us. You know, I was thinking about Madonna's song. I don't know the all words, but Madonna sang a song called Baby, I Was Born This Way. And throughout the song, she's saying, I'm good. There's nothing wrong with I was born this way. As if there's nothing wrong and nothing will ever be wrong with her. And that's the illusion. Do you know what that's the teaching that people forget? It's called original sin. Original sin is not a sin that you committed. It is something that happened in history, and we don't know what. The story of Adam and Eve is a story to tell us that at the beginning of creation, when God created us good, something drastically went wrong. And ever since then, it has affected the human race. And though we go through periods of thinking we're okay, at the center of our humanity, there is a time bomb. And that time bomb goes off, either all at once or little by little. But ultimately, it is a bomb that will destroy your life. We are not in a negotiating position with God. He has offered to rescue us. But we don't get to dictate what God gives us or doesn't give us. Why can we trust Him? Because we know He loves us. But because He loves us doesn't mean that we can dictate what we get. So it always reminds me of the little kid who wants something unreasonable. And he says to his mom, "But don't you love me?" And the mom says, "Yes. But if you loved me, you'd give me what I want." That's what's called in Latin a non sequitur. It doesn't follow. Your mom gives you what's good for you. And she allows life to happen to you, and she helps you through it. And that's who God is. And so today, what Jesus in the gospel basically says, look, I'm not here to get you out of every jam in the world. I'm here to guarantee that you will never face your issues and the problems alone. Do not be afraid. That's why he says, do not be afraid of people who can kill the body. Why? Because the body is temporary. Don't be afraid of them. Be afraid of God. Do what God tells you, because he's the one that has all the power. And so he says, look, you are more than a flock of birds. God doesn't allow even a single bird to fall without knowing what's happening. And he will not allow you to experience suffering without knowing that he will come to your rescue. That doesn't mean that he will take you out of every problem you have. But ultimately, trusting in him, and you will make it the same way that Jesus did. But notice, with Jesus, he didn't say, oh, you don't have to get crucified. He said, just let them do what they want to you, and I will be with you. And Jesus had to sweat blood in order to follow that. No, we don't have a negotiating position. And if you ever let God say, well, if you ever say, well, God, I'm sorry, I don't need you, you'll be back. Trust me, you'll be back.